This is Four Down Territory, going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, Bump. Why are you okay? This is going to get you some feedback, I already know. Why are you okay with sideline outbursts like the one we saw with A.J. Brown last night?
I'm okay with it because, one, you have to play football with emotion, right? I've never seen a guy be extremely successful and not show emotion on the football field. Football, I mean, you can do that in golf, I guess. I've seen it in tennis. But you need enthusiasm and emotion on the football field. And now I'm also okay with it because A.J. Brown just wants the football. He goes, look, I'm cooking over here. These dudes cannot guard me. Now, or cover me. Sorry, Dave Wyman.
All right? He's going to be really upset.
So upset. Hope you're listening, Dave. Love you, man. I want my ballers to want the football. If he's on the sideline, now he had 6 targets, had 5 receptions, but he's looking at Devontae Smith. He's going, man, Devontae Smith is over there eating right now. I want to eat too. I like that. Now, he can't do it every time he's not getting the football, but that just shows that he cares about his performance. He wants to contribute, and he is a dog out there. I want my ballers to want the football. So I look at A.J. Brown, and I go, most people are going to look at him and go, oh, my God, these receivers, they're stubborn. They're divas. All they do is care about themselves. They just want to contribute, man. And a guy like A.J. Brown needs to contribute. Can't do it every time he's not getting the ball. So I'm all right with it.
Second down. What player on the Seahawks is in a position that no one else is in when you look across the league? I can't wait for the answer to this question and for fourth down.
I'm looking at the league, right? I'm looking across the league. Geno has nobody who's in the position that he's in. There's no other quarterback who is entering like his second phase in his career and is still having to prove himself. Usually guys are entering their second phase, you know who they are, and you know what you're going to get. Like Derek Carr, he's entering his second phase, but everyone knows who Derek Carr is, right? He's going to throw 4,000 yards, 20-something touchdowns, and maybe 10 to 12 interceptions. You look at Baker Mayfield, everyone knows who he is. He's going to win you a couple games, going to make some poor decisions. He's really got nothing to prove. Geno has the most pressure on him when guys entering their second phase in their career. And the reason why I point that out is because everyone else has someone they can relate to. Josh Allen and Joe Burrow can link up and be like, we're the young guns, we're doing this thing, right? You look at Dak Prescott and say a Matthew Stafford or something, they can contribute. Look, all the pressure is on us, but we perform. Why don't they believe in us, you know? Geno, I look at Geno, I go, who is Geno talking to? We look at the history of the NFL. Who's the first person we look at when we go, a guy later in his career who balled out? Rich Gannon is the only guy I can look at and say, Geno, that's
that
the only person you can talk to.
67 years ago.
65
years ago.
So I look at it, and I was thinking about Geno and how he's going to approach week 2 and how he needs to get better and his mentorship and all that. And I'm looking across the league, I go, it's just Geno. No one else is in the position that Geno is in. So it's a different type of pressure for Geno. I don't feel bad for him. I think Geno loves the pressure. He loves being in this position. There's just no one for him to relate to.
You know what's interesting is I don't want to say that that was the case for Russell Wilson, since especially earlier in his career, his case is less unique. But earlier in his career, it was like, he's a mobile quarterback. It's him and RG3, you know, him and Colin Kaepernick. Like, he got a lot of those comparisons early. But he, later on in his career, became kind of that weird, in between generations. There was the older guys. There was Brady. There was Rodgers, right? I'm going to include, like, Kirk Cousins even. I'm not saying they're all in the same tier, clearly, but, like, they were an older generation. Then there was Russ and, like, Stafford, who was about a year older, but, like, roughly the same. And then there was all the young guys. Like, there was this weird group where, like, the classes of 2012, 11, and 10 just had a ton of guys who didn't work out.
Right.
And so there was this in-between group of guys in their early 30s at the time that, like, weren't really reflected anywhere else. It's just interesting that both have been Seattle quarterbacks.
Geno's the only quarterback from his draft class that's still playing right now.
That's insane.
Wow.
Because he's not old, per se. Like, quarterbacks can play for a long time. It's a little surprising there aren't any starters at all that are 32?
Yep.
It's crazy. All right, third down. DK Metcalf's penalty last week has gotten a lot of people talking about his discipline on the field. What has this conversation brought to light for you when it comes to the overall discipline for Seahawks?
I love me some Pete Carroll, man. So this isn't a knock on Pete Carroll. I just started looking at penalties and stuff, and I go, last year, the Seahawks were the, like, 5th or 6th most penalized team in the league, right? And then I started looking at individual guys over the years who have been penalized on this football team. You go over the history of the NFL, the most penalized player, they listed 30 or 40 guys. All right, the Seahawks have 3 guys on this list. It's Russell Okung. Obviously, now I'm not talking about personal fouls or whatnot, but just penalties in general, right? Mm-hmm. Russell Okung, there was a couple more. Michael Bennett. And the last one, I believe it was Brandon. Effetti. It was Browner. Browner and Effetti's on the list, too. Yep. So you got four guys out of 40. So I'm just trying to connect the dots here. Now, we asked for people to hold DK accountable, and I go, is it just a Seahawk problem that the way they address penalties, they address guys making these mistakes, just doesn't stick for some reason? I'm just trying to make it all make sense because I look at Pete Carroll and I see him as the nurturer. He's not the guy who's going to come out and yell at you and reprimand you in front of everybody and try to embarrass you. That's just not how he does it. So I look at it and I go, maybe he needs that type of guy on staff. Maybe he needs the guy to be the bad cop and be like, look, y'all got to stop messing around or and, you know, do what they got to do. So DK kind of had me thinking about that. I go, Pete Carroll said, look, I had a stern talking with DK and we're going to figure this whole thing out. Did you? I mean, because over the past, 10, 12, 13 years, this has been a problem for this team. Not necessarily the personal fouls, but just penalties in general. So something needs to change. I think if they can cut down and be in the bottom half when it comes to penalties or whatnot, that's going to help them. Mm-hmm. So it is a DK thing, but it might be a culture thing in Seattle, too, that they just don't hold guys accountable when they make these type of mistakes.
Very interesting. Fourth down. What is one of the dumbest rules in the NFL?
So stupid.
I have my guess as to
it's
what you're
so stupid.
Say.
I get the football. I'm a receiver. I make a move. Ah, shake a guy. I'm trying to make a play at the pylon. The ball. I fumble the ball in the back of the end zone, and now they get the ball? Correct. What did they do to the
ball over
anywhere else on the field? It's okay. The ball's out of bounds. Here you go. You put the ball right there where you fumbled it. You should get the ball at the 1 yard line. They did absolutely nothing. They didn't recover the ball. Why is it a freaking turnover when you fumble out the back of the end zone? It's nuts to me. Get rid of that rule. It's dumb.
Devil's advocate.
Of course.
What if the idea? No, I agree with you actually. But what if the idea is like, well, don't fumble the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, no one wants to fumble. Don't fumble the ball in the middle of the field. It went out of bounds. You still get the ball. They didn't recover it. Like, they didn't recover the ball.
It is interesting that if you fumble at the one and it's recovered, obviously the opposing offense, that recovering team takes over at the one. If you fumble a yard later, they take over at the, 20, 25?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me. It happened to Justin Jefferson last night, and I felt bad for him. Obviously, you don't want to fumble the ball, but he's trying to make a play. Okay, he fumbled out the back of the end zone, or the side of the end zone, wasn't even the back of the end zone, and now they get the ball. It's crazy to me.
I was pulling up the box score for last night's game. How many yards did Justin Jefferson have?
A whole lot of, like $150,
I think. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I feel bad because he's probably putting a lot of this blame on his shoulder. It's a one-score game. You have a touchback, you know, when you fumble at the goal line on what was a touchdown. Like, you walk in, you take another step. That's a score. It's a tie game. Who knows what happens? Maybe the Vikings aren't 0-2 to start the season. I feel bad, though, because while I know that as a player, you're placing blame on yourself and you're angry, and you saw the camera showing him, and he was like, that's on me, that's on, like, he was angry. He's been their best player, and it's not close. Like, he might have close to 300 yards through two games. I need to look it up, but.
And also, why does the end zone extend, like, all the way to oblivion, left and right? Like, it's an imaginary line that goes all the way. All you got to do is cross the ball. Football is interesting, man. And I was reminded last night of how interesting it is.